is Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Two weeks ago, we read of a rich man who was one of the only people in Mark's gospel to reject Jesus' call to follow him. Most people who were healed or who encountered Jesus, maybe outside of the religious leaders, choose to follow Jesus after an encounter, after a healing or a teaching or some kind of miracle or sign. People recognize Jesus as the Messiah or the Son of Man and choose to follow him or to become a disciple. 2 weeks ago, the rich young ruler was told that in order to follow him, he lacked one thing, and that was to sell all his possessions and give to the poor, because his attachment to his possessions were so strong, there was no way he could follow Jesus fully. And so he walked away sad because he knew he could not do that. Well, here we are 2 weeks later. We have an encounter with someone named Bartimaeus. In some ways, it's a total reversal of 2 weeks ago of the rich young ruler. And it may be the culmination of this series that we have called the Upside Down Kingdom, because it just may simply exemplify the upside down nature of what it means to follow Jesus or to live in the kingdom. And so today's main character, outside of Jesus, of course, is someone named Bartimaeus. Now, many times when Jesus encounters someone who needs healing or who is demon-possessed, we don't have the name. It's just a man or a woman, just a general classification. Today, we are given a name, a very specific name, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. In fact, that's what Bartimaeus means, son of Timaeus. Now, we've talked several times in this worship space about how someone's name in the biblical narrative more often than not means something or says something about that person or their state or where they came from. And so today we have someone named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. And there's a couple of translations of this name. One of them means son of honor. There's also an alternate translation that says Bartimaeus can mean son of poverty or son of ill will. Now, who would name their child son of ill will or son of poverty? Son of poverty. This man was blind. He had nothing. In fact, he had two strikes against him. It'd be one thing to be blind all by itself. It'd be another thing to be a beggar, to have nothing. Perhaps feel that there is nothing for you, but these are now together. One who cannot see and one who has no possessions. One might say that Bartimaeus was at the bottom of society, the absolute, positively bottom of society, begging at the gate for something left over from someone's fortune that they may be able to throw onto the road for him. He's given the opportunity, though, to meet another son. We have the son of poverty meeting the son of David. The son of, or one in the likeness of the king, meeting the one who is in the likeness of the bottom of the totem pole, coming together. Two sons with an important encounter. The son of poverty and the son of David and the son of God. The lowest possible status of a human being with a direct encounter with the Messiah, the son of David, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's truly a miraculous encounter, something that Mark is clearly trying to draw our attention to. That two polar opposites are now meeting. And where does this encounter take us? Well, in the upside-down kingdom, this challenging story finally points us to someone who gets it. You see, 2 weeks ago, the man who had everything, the rich young ruler who had many possessions, and as far as we know, whose health was fine, could not inherit the kingdom of God, could not follow Jesus. And yet today, at the end of Mark chapter 10, one of the most revolutionary chapters in all of Scripture, we have found someone who gets it. An unlikely hero found in the most unlikely of places. The one who understands that physical, spiritual, mental poverty is what we must approach the throne of grace with. The one who does not ask for possessions, who does not ask for status like the disciples last week, who does not ask for kingship or lordship, but simply asks for mercy. Son of David, have mercy on me. Kyrie eleison, the phrase that churches around the world pray day by day and week by week, have mercy on me, a sinner. There is no better way to approach Jesus or to approach the throne of grace than what we are taught by blind Bart. So Jesus and the disciples were on their last stop before Jerusalem. They were on their way to the holy city. You'll notice in the next chapter, Mark chapter 11, if you have your Bibles open, that is their next stop. This is the final story in the final instance before we meet Jesus as he enters the city. And so they've been on their way to Jerusalem for a while now. And now they're preparing to enter this dangerous journey. Yes, we can get ahead of ourselves and say that when Jesus comes to the holy city, we know what's coming. Jesus knows what's coming. Jesus tells his disciples what's coming, what he foresees in his life. But there's also a dangerous road between Jericho and Jerusalem. It's the same road that the man was beaten and left on the side of the road before the Good Samaritan came along. Same road. And so the disciples and Jesus are preparing to head that way and some other followers. And they meet a blind beggar. Ugh, one more person to get in the way. One more person to get in the way of Jesus' holy journey to the holy city. One more bothersome individual, just like the children when we started this series. And now we have this bothersome blind beggar. Bartimaeus knows who Jesus is, and he calls once and says, "Son of David, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And of course, as per usual, the followers, the disciples, the crowd was not having it. But Bartimaeus had some persistence, didn't he? He said, "No, hey, wait. Have mercy on me, Son of David." He relentlessly called for and begged for Jesus' mercy. Good for him. Sometimes we think one time is good enough, don't we? Well, I came to church once a week. That's all I really need to call on Jesus for, right? Bartimaeus kept going. Bartimaeus wanted Jesus' attention. Bartimaeus wanted that encounter with the Christ. And Jesus comes to Bartimaeus and says, "What do you want from me?" Which is, well, kind of obvious, isn't it? If a blind beggar were to come up to you, and he knew that you had the power to make him see or her see again, you might not need to ask that question, right? Jesus wanted to hear it. Jesus wanted to put the onus of faith on the blind beggar, on Bartimaeus. And so Bartimaeus says, I want to see. I want to see. Jesus says, your faith has healed you. And perhaps most importantly, the last few words of this passage, he regained his sight and followed him on the way. We finally have someone who gets it. We finally know someone who is willing to do what it takes to follow Jesus, to ask what is right, to ask for mercy, and to have faith. And this really begs the question for us, what is faith to begin with? Maybe faith can be most obviously seen in the person of Bartimaeus. It is the relentless pursuit of Christ, begging for sight, knowing that without Jesus we are blind to the world, following Jesus into the unknown. I think this is important for the church to hear today. We don't always know what is out there ahead of us as a Christian people. We don't know where the world's taking us. Every year, it seems, we are at the edge of Jericho, not knowing where this dangerous road is going to take us that we call church. We sit in this room and we take part in our Bible studies and in our Wednesday night meals and children's activities, and we ask, where are we headed? What's going on here? Is Jesus really seeing us? Is Jesus with us? Is Jesus helping us see? There are so many questions, and at times we may feel blind because we can't see where we are going. I want to share an interesting story for you that you may find fascinating and perhaps even familiar. My worship professor at Gardner Webb, Dr. Robert Kanoy, has recently taken an interim pastorate at a church he used to pastor 20 years ago. And so before he became the dean of the Divinity School at Gardner Webb, he was pastor at First Baptist Church of Shelby. First Baptist Church of Shelby, North Carolina, where 20 years ago there were 1,000 people attending worship every year. Every Sunday. Every Sunday there were about 1,000 people who were engaged in the life of the congregation. Well, shortly thereafter, he went and took the call to be the dean of the Divinity School at Gardner Webb. And so now, 20 years later, they are without a pastor. And so they ask him to come back and to be interim. What a fascinating story. I don't know of too many pastors who have probably gone back to their old church to be an interim pastor there. It must be a very strange feeling, I'm guessing. Well, I know it's strange because now the church has about 300 people every week. 20 years ago, 1,000 regular attenders. Now about 300. They've seen numerical decline, uncertainty. They've seen vision drift, not knowing where to go. They've tried programs, building renovations, worship style changes. Nothing seems to be taking hold in their congregation. So Dr. Kanoy has felt led and called, and I very much agree with him on this. On his first Sunday, he began a series on the Beatitudes. We'll stay with that for several weeks. The first Sunday, he preached the message, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." He encouraged the congregation. He said, in these 20 years, after what we've seen going on around us, not just in these walls, but outside these walls, he said, we need to become poor. Our way forward is to become poor in spirit. Our way forward is not to program our way out of this rut, not to find strategy or methods, although those can have their place. He said, the overall mentality we must take on is that we are to become poor in spirit. We are to become beggars for Jesus. We need to become hungry. We've tried bigger and better. We need to be poor. We need to beg Jesus to be in our midst. Whatever form that takes, we must see the kingdom. Here we are in a similar story, in a totally different gospel, learning again what it means to be poor, what it means to be a beggar. But it's the right kind of beggar. I encourage you this day as we consider what it means to long for Jesus, to place ourselves in the shoes of blind Bart. I would first encourage you to relentlessly call on the Lord day by day. There are seasons of our faith where it seems like Jesus is blocked out by other disciples or the world around us, just as we read in this story of blind Bart. Don't stop at calling Jesus' name one time. Don't stop at one time during the week or one time in a season of life. Relentlessly pursue Jesus. Whether it's election season, whether you are in a financial challenge or a relational challenge, continue to be louder and to proclaim even louder and to beg even louder, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. If you sense things aren't changing, say even louder, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. And repeat, and repeat, and repeat. I also encourage you to know your blind spots and to beg for sight. We may be completely blind. We may just have a spot here or there that we can't quite see out of. Like Bart, we must approach the throne of grace. We must approach Jesus and beg for sight. Throughout this series, we've always encountered in every story someone or some people who have blind spots. One week it was the rich young ruler. A couple of times it's been the disciples who did not want the children to come unto Jesus. At one time, just last week, it was the disciples again who were vying for position in Jesus' kingdom. Who could sit on Jesus' left and right? And so they were blind to the fact that following Jesus is not about promotion, it's about servanthood and being humble. So we have disciples, we have Bartimaeus who has blind spots as well. In Bartimaeus, of course, he was physically blind. But we can take on this mentality, all of us, and admit that we don't always see what's in front of us, and that it is only through Christ that we can fully comprehend what's going on in the world around us. Sometimes we don't notice those blind spots until we've bumped into someone, or it seems that life has crashed around us, and so we must be proactive and learn what those blind spots are in the here and now. Most importantly, we must follow Jesus into the unknown. Once again, this was the last stop before a dangerous road. And Bartimaeus would have known that. Bartimaeus would have known where Jesus and his followers were going. Bartimaeus had had a pretty rough life up until that point. I suppose Bartimaeus could have said, I'm healed. I kind of want to enjoy the rest of my life in Jericho now. But Bartimaeus instead followed them out that gate, knowing what lied ahead of him, because he knew what it meant to follow Jesus. Bartimaeus knew that having sight meant that he could now see all, he could see the world around him, and that he could follow Jesus because he had trusted in him and asked for his mercy. Perhaps that needs to be our prayer as we conclude this series on the upside-down kingdom. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Maybe you need to make sure you say that once a day as you get up or as you go to bed. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. We're individual Christians, but we're also a church together. And so as we close this sermon time, I'd like us to say that together. We need mercy as individuals, but we also need mercy as a church. We must ask Jesus to heal our blindness so that we can follow him into the unknown. Let's close this time by saying the words of Bartimaeus together. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Let's pray together.